Hi, Sue. How are you?
Well, thanks, Suleika. Hi, everybody. I'm so looking forward to this chat.
Okay, Sue, I think this affects every one of us at some time of our lives. And, of course, prevention is always better than cure. So let's just get into the topic, and I want to know from you, is it really necessary to remove your gallbladder?
Well, it's not. I mean, if it's functioning well, we definitely won't remove the gallbladder, but it's when you have infection or something that's gone wrong and the gallbladder is jammed full of gallstones and it's inflamed and you're feeling terrible, you can't digest your food, and the doctor says, okay, let's just cut out your gallbladder and then everything will be all right. Now, what the doctor's actually saying is it'll stop you having gallbladder problems, but without a gallbladder, it's very, very difficult to live a normal life. And they say, oh, no, we'll just snip it out and everything will be fine and it'll be back to normal. But Suleika, I want to share with you the consequences of losing your gallbladder as opposed to just maintaining it normally and looking after it and keeping it clear of gallstones. It's much easier. As we say, prevention is better than cure. And in this case, the cure, after the thing has been cut out, living a life without a gallbladder is far more complicated. And the reason for this is that the gallbladder contains bile. The bile is a digestive juice. As you know, it's the thing that breaks up the fats and yes. The meats and the protein. So when you've had a nice plate of curry and some chops and things, the gallbladder lets out all its bile. And that mixes with the food you've eaten in the small intestine and it digests it properly. It splits up the fat. It sends everything to the right departments and then it helps to send it along down the intestine. So when you eat and you don't have a gallbladder, and you eat a plate of curry, there isn't bile there. There's only little bits made intermittently. So you'll get about 5% of the bile that you need to digest that plate of food. So in other words, you can't eat a normal amount of food. Now, that's tragic news to most of us, isn't it? And you have to eat very little, small amounts frequently, and you've got to cut out a lot of your rich, lovely, greasy, fatty foods. No more cream on the chocolate cake, and no more extra gravy, and no more slop chips, and no more fried donuts, because you don't have the bile to cope with it. Unless you take a donut, you cut it into 10 pieces, and you have one piece every hour. Isn't that nice?
You'll be a very skinny person. This thing. Okay.
So that is the main problem then, is in some cases it may be necessary, but we always say first give the liver and gallbladder flush a try, the whole natural protocol.
Sue, what I wanted to say, since we just said about the flush, okay, we'll come back to what I want to say. What is the first thing one need to do?
When there's a problem with the gallbladder, the first thing you need to do is deal with the inflammation. But even before that, I think one has to try and think back to what was the trigger, and what actually caused it. And a lot of doctors are not going to say, like Sufa Sernsi later, what is your blood type? Are you eating wheat? Do you think it suits you? Because if it doesn't suit you, you're just jamming up your gallbladder. You're causing inflammation. You're also wrecking your pancreas, your joints, all sorts of other things from the wheat. That is why we're very strict on that. And that is one of the first things you have to look at, is if you're a blood type B, you're blood type O, or you're blood type A non-secretor, right? That's the small 20% of the blood type A's that cannot tolerate wheat. If you're one of those blood types and you are eating wheat, the first thing you need to do is stop immediately. And in some cases, it's not only the wheat, but it's all forms of gluten. And gluten we find in other grains like barley, one of our other favorites, isn't it? And rye bread. You have to cut them all out. And we have a one-month gluten-free challenge on our Nature Fresh website. It's all free of charge. All the blood type information, the charts, and how to work it out and what to do, it's all available free on our website. Because the Healthy Happy Eating book isn't available anymore. We've closed our third edition, and I'm not printing it again. So I'm just giving it out for free. It's okay. Always been there for free.
Yes.
If only people would eat for their blood type, we wouldn't have half the problems we have with the digestive system and elsewhere in the body. So that's the first thing you need to do, is check your blood type, and if you're eating the bread and the gluten and the pasta and the biscuits and the cakes and the cookies and 2 slices in the morning and 2 slices between meals and a hamburger here and a bun there, that is definitely going to exacerbate the inflammation. So out it comes. Another thing the doctors are going to tell you with the diet, when you, your gallbladder is not functioning properly, is you can't break up the fiber. So if you're munching a celery stick and then you're having a block of cheese, you can't digest either of them.
Mm-hmm.
It really messes with your digestive system. So please try and save your gallbladders. And we have had a lot of success with the gallbladder flushing, which we'll discuss later on.
Okay. Now, Sue, you also recommended a parasite treatment first before the gallbladder, this thing. So,
you're saying, why is that? Now,
yeah.
The reason we say get rid of parasites, they are, again, another cause of inflammation. They're another cause that your blood thickens, by the way, if you've got heart issues and your blood is too thick and it's not viscous enough. It's because there are microorganisms also in the bloodstream interfering and causing the inflammation. But the main thing about the parasites, especially the larger ones, they can get down the little capillaries of the ducts where the bile collects and has to go down into the major bile duct. They block those ducts. So you may be producing the bile, but the parasites are blocking the ducts. And it's the same in the pancreas, where we need the insulin to come out. Parasites actually lay their eggs and sometimes live inside the actual tube where the pancreatic fluid has to come down and into the major valve, into the digestive system. If a fluke, and you know what flukes look like?
Yes.
They look like slugs. Not very nice, and that's inside you, and it's blocking the body's access to your digestive juices. So the first thing is to get rid of the major big parasites, the worms and the flukes. The minor ones as well cause digestion, problems with digestion further down the tract.
Mm-hmm.
And the major parasite we battle with is the one that's yeast-based. There's too much yeast in your body. It means you don't have enough probiotics. So when we flush out the parasites, we also have to step up the probiotic intake. So mm-hmm. We have to get rid of all foreigners. Okay?
Okay. Sue, there are lots of natural parasite things that someone can't find in the kitchen. Like, I know the cloves is one of them. And I know you also recommend the olive leaf. And, of course, if you have a tree with a garden where you have a tree, olive tree, then that can be also helpful. Anything else in the home remedy concerning the parasites?
Well, I don't know how well stocked your spice cupboard is, but if you've got kalungi seeds, you know, what we call black
seeds. It's actually recommended.
If you could actually grind them up or chew half a teaspoon of those, or mix it with olive oil and honey or something, but somehow ingest enough of that, it is your one-stop remedy, not only for inflammation and black seed, but for many, many other things.
Okay.
It truly is our major protector from parasites.
So it's a protector. Does it also remove parasites?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think, you know, it is very antimicrobial and anti-infective. Plus, it protects against inflammation. So please add that to your spice list. What I do is I often take my pepper grinder and I make it half full with kalungi pepper, a few peppercorns, some coriander, and some cumin. They make a lovely combination, and we've always known it as kalungi pepper, and that's what we use regularly.
Yes. It is the Prophet, peace be upon him, recommended kalungi, and it is supposed to be healing for everything.
Yes.
Kalungi and honey,
The kalungi, and we're lucky today that you can buy kalungi oil.
Yes.
That's much easier to take. So if your gallbladder suddenly flares up and you're not feeling very good, I would say get some yogurt or a marcy, half a cup, and put in a teaspoon of kalungi oil and a teaspoon or two of flaxseed oil and some honey. Mix it up and have that throughout the day in divided doses.
Okay.
And that basically is all for all a human being needs, and they're all highly recommended as healing.
So you said a teaspoon Kulunji oil, a teaspoon flaxseed oil. What will the flaxseed oil do?
Flaxseed is very anti-inflammatory. It's full of omega-3,
mm-hmm.
and it's an unsaturated fat, but it actually shuts down inflammation. You know, you have prostaglandins. I don't know if you know what those are, but they prostaglandins either cause inflammation in the fatty acids. You know, all the cooked, the trans fatty acids are the pro-inflammatory ones, and the anti-inflammatory ones are in the omega-3 oils, the fish oils. Lots of salmon, oily salmon.
Yes.
And those sort of things. But if your gallbladder is playing up, you will not be able to digest normal food in a normal way.
Yes, yes.
But try and get as many anti-inflammatory substances and oils and things into your body. So the easiest one to ingest and digest would be the Kulunji oil.
Yes, yes.
Because there's no fiber in it to chew or anything. And I found 100 milliliters of Kulunji oil selling in the Indian spice shops for 90 rand.
Yes.
It's not expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about owning your own bottle of Kulunji oil is any skin ailment you can think of, you put that on.
Yes.
It's magic. So in answer to your question, is there something in the kitchen we can do there? Most definitely is.
Yes, that's and the yogurt itself is also very, very good. You know, I mean, is that like a probiotic, isn't it? So
yes. So there you go. And then if you want to take it a step further, look at the other spices, the cinnamon, and as you mentioned, cloves. Cloves kill the worm eggs. That's what their forte is. It's a very burny thing. It's not an easy spice to have a lot of, as you've noticed.
Yes.
And it's also anti-inflammatory. If you look at most of the spices, you'll find that the reason they make all these wonderful chemicals for us is in order to preserve the seeds.
Yes.
A lot of them grow in swampy tropical areas, so they have to make chemicals to make sure that they don't rot themselves, and also that other things don't eat them.
Yeah.
And that's mainly why we eat spices. The other reason is that taste does.
Yes. You know, my dad used to always insist that we put cloves when we are making rice. So we used to boil, you're boiling the rice, and you used to put cloves in.
That's right. My mother used to do that. And as a little child, if you bit on one of those, you were not happy.
Yeah. So we probably take it out, but I mean, whatever the nutrients or
whatever
is good.
Sometimes they're left in and then you bite on.
Yeah, they are
it.
Left in, but we learn to put it on the side.
And,
but I mean,
yes,
it's.
And a stick of cinnamon.
Yes, and ilachi too.
Yeah, ilachi and
cardamom,
you can go on and on.
Yeah.
And of course, turmeric is now being hailed as a major anti-inflammatory one, but they say not too much turmeric if you've got a gallbladder. Specifically for gallbladder problems, they said turmeric is not a good one.
Okay.
There's something of too much curcumin in the body.
Okay.
And also, just to be on the tidy side, when you eat it, it's got a very dark yellow color.
Yes.
And that will then stain your insides, your intestines, and the contents thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Not a pretty sight. That's just one warning that told the Rachel Clark, you know, the expert on parasites.
Yes.
You eat too much turmeric, you're going to have it yellow in the toilet.
Yes.
It is bluntly as that.
Yeah.
But there are other anti-inflammatory substances that are much better for you.
Okay. So,
and also, if you've got an upset bowel and you've got a lot of gas and bloating,
mm-hmm.
remember peppermint from the kitchen.
Okay.
You know, peppermint tea, chamomile tea, these are great things to drink if you're in that inflammatory state.
Sue, you said no oil. Well, I presume you mean the other oil that's not good
the
and no
oil
fats,
in vast quantities.
Like butter and ghee and that type of thing.
Yes.
I mean, you
rather
said
just try and eke out the flaxseed oil and the Kulunji oil as best you can, and cod liver oil, fish oil, not very tasty things, are
and
they?
Hey? coconut oil.
Coconut oil is controversial.
Yes.
Because it contains arachidonic acid, which is a pro-inflammatory fat.
Okay.
I know that all the people who promote it for curing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Are not so wise about anti-inflammatory fats.
Yes.
But in the good old-fashioned days when I was taught by Professor Serpentine, he said arachidonic acid is pro-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of this prostaglandin effect. So a little bit is probably better than a lamb chop, but rather try an unsaturated fat, like of the monounsaturated fats, olive oil, for instance, or even canola oil, is much safer because it's not a fatty acid at all.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the length of the chain. They call it a short-chain fatty acid,
okay.
Coconut oil. But it is still a fatty acid, a solid
okay.
fat. And to prove it, you just put some coconut oil in the fridge and you see what happens. It goes
okay.
solid, doesn't it?
Okay.
Yeah. So watch out for your fats, and you also have to watch out for your proteins.
Okay. Sue, why is it important to avoid gluten?
Well, again, the gluten in particular, it even goes beyond the blood type, by the way. If you're allergic to gluten and you've got celiac disease, chances are in your life you're going to have issues with your gallbladder if you cheat and you eat a bit of gluten here and there. Because it makes your whole, the whole gut wall, the whole lining, is already inflamed and broken. And then it also attacks, the gluten also attacks the gallbladder, the liver, and the pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wretched condition. So if you've got Crohn's disease, celiac disease, and inflammatory bowel disease, you probably know all about how uncomfortable and how awful it is. But you may not have been told by your doctor, who's given you every medication under the sun, that what's causing it is the gluten.
Mm-hmm.
And the best cure for all these ailments is what they call the GFD. So when you're doing laboratory research, they don't say gluten-free diet. They just say GFD, GFD, GFD. And you'll find, if you Google it, that it is highly effective in most cases. And that's why it's so important. Any problem you've got right now, please, I beg you, go and look up a gluten-free diet.
Okay.
Preferably one that fits your blood type, and you will be cutting out the rest of the problems.
Okay.
So now we're going to have to get on with the
flush.
Liver and gallbladder flush, the whole
yes,
process.
Yes.
And it's a very old-fashioned one, and it's been around for many, many years, and
yes.
it's always worked.
Yes, it does. I've done it.
It just does work. And we used to make a rule that we did it every summer and every winter,
okay.
twice a year.
Yeah.
Until
okay.
in the end we stopped doing it, Suleika, because we just didn't have any gallstones left.
Okay.
We never made gallstones anymore because, you know, when you're finished with the whole thing, you start eating properly. And so when 6 months come by, you realize that there is no problem. I eat gluten-free and I don't abuse the fats in my diet or mm-hmm. the sugars or the trans fatty acids. And then we just no gallstones. And the worst part for me is the first 2 days you have to do your parasite. You have to, you know, we have got commercial parasite remedies you can take.
Mm-hmm.
And especially things that contain wormwood, artemisia,
mm-hmm.
and they often use black walnut seeds. At the health shop, they've got a lot of parasite remedies that you can take. And you have to do that at the same time to build up the amount of bile that collects in the gallbladder so that it can really flush itself out. You don't eat any fat, so the bile keeps accumulating inside the gallbladder. And 2 days on a fat-free diet for me, not paradise. It's, you know, you rack your brains to think of stuff, and when you don't eat your usual fats, the food is not as satisfying.
Yes.
So you're constantly hungry, haven't you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
When you eat fruit and salads,
yeah.
and you're looking around and you think, oh, a bit of cheese would have been
yes.
really nice there.
Uh-huh.
And there are some cheeses that suit blood type O. For blood type B, most of the cheeses and milks and dairy products are really good with blood type B. So you don't, you know, you just go for fat-free milk and fat-free yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes to supper time and you want a bit of butter on your potato. No.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't mind the taste of flaxseed oil, it's better to use a bit of that. And so even if you cut down your fat by about 80% of your normal use. So before you go on the liver and gallbladder flush for those first 2 days, do some shopping, do some research, stock up with plenty of substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of cream or ice cream, you can take a banana and you can chop that up and put it in the freezer. And then you just take a stick blender, you know those
yes.
catches with the knives
mm-hmm.
at the end. And you make a very nice ice cream substitute just out of a banana. And you can have some fat-free yogurt with it, make a frozen yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of clever tricks you can do. But you just get through those 2 days like a good girl. Then after those 2 days, it sounds awful, but the night before you go to be flushing, you have to take a lot of olive oil. And you have to take Epsom salts.
Yes.
But please follow the exact protocol, and I have sent it to you, and it will be on our website, the actual amounts. Because you dilute the Epsom salts in boiling water, mix up half a glass of that solution, and then you take a teaspoon, you start in the afternoon, and then another teaspoon at supper time. Now, some people are so sensitive to the magnesium sulfate, the Epsom salts, that immediately they run to the toilet, and that's not the idea. You start taking the Epsom salts, you start loosening and preparing for the whole grand explosion. But you're not supposed to go to the toilet until about 7 o'clock at night, you see, or in the next morning. Usually it's planned that you prepare in the afternoon. Before you go to bed, you take half a cup of olive oil mixed with a tablespoon or so of lemon juice or grapefruit juice. And, you know, you drink down that olive oil and you sit now and you're saying, yuck. But when you haven't had any oil for 2 days, it tastes wonderful. Olive oil and lemon juice, really wonderful. Then you start to lie on your one side so that all the little tubes and things can bubble and splutter. And you feel rumblings inside you. Things really do start stirring. And then just before bed, some people need another teaspoon of Epsom salts and they go to bed. And you generally have a pretty good night. Next thing in the morning, you will either be called out of bed to go and discharge of everything, or you may need another dose of Epsom salts. Now, the whole process costs you less than about 10 rand.
Yes.
And out in the toilet will come all the gallstones, guaranteed. Plus a lot of other soft balls of bile, which you don't have to worry about. They will float in the toilet. They have a greenish color. And it'll be very satisfying for you to flush that all away.
Okay.
And the smell is of sulfur. You'll smell sulfur, and that is from the Epsom salts.
Okay.
And the reason, one of the side effects of Epsom salts is actually to help kill infections in the gut. So it's such a brilliant process, and I think it's been going on the times of ancient Egypt.
Okay.
And it still works, as you say. It still does work. And anybody who's going to have their gallbladder cut out must first get a second opinion as to if they could try this thing.
Yes.
But now you asked me about the gallstones, and you said, well, what
it's
about
very,
very
big.
Large
gallstones? Yeah, what's going to happen there?
What's going to happen? I don't know what the Guinness Book of Records says. Some very large stones can get past.
Yeah.
And
does it disintegrate in any way?
Maybe by putting more and more bile in, you know, after the 2 fat days of fat-free diet, may be able to melt them a little bit or knock them around a bit. But even so, if you've got one big one, you may have 100 small ones. So why not get rid of the small ones? And then if it's just a big one left, maybe over time that there might be another way to treat it. But don't just cut out the whole little bag full of stones. Try and get rid of what you can. And you'll be surprised at how many come out. Some people, it's a distasteful subject, but they put a sieve in the toilet and they count stones and they keep them in little bottles. You'll see lots of pictures of that on the internet. Just think that was in your body. They're not dirty. They're made of cholesterol.
Yes.
Cholesterol salts, right?
And
they rattle around and they're very hard. But if they're left inside you, they are very, very painful. And they all accumulate in there.
Yeah.
And they cause inflammation. But they shouldn't be there in the first place.
Okay.
So now we've been through the whole horrid process.
Yeah.
You have to weigh up the fact that it is worth it as compared to having surgery, which isn't nice. You know, that's not the ideal way to go to theatre. When you go to theatre, rather go see a nice show rather than be the subject under the light.
Yes, yes.
And it's costly. And it's not pleasant, and you're going to have a wound, and there'll be stitches and all the chamors. Rather, do it the natural way. And then after that, that's the next question you're going to ask, isn't it? How are we going to prevent that from ever happening
yes,
again.
Yes, that's very important.
Yeah. Well, there's no guarantee, is there? But as I said, we don't do the gallbladder flush anymore because we found there was nothing coming out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we got something right. So all I can share with you is that when I go shopping for groceries, the things that I buy most of, and my trolley's full of, are vegetables and fruits.
Okay.
And, of course, I'm married to a turophile. You know what a turophile is?
No.
it's a Dutch man who is addicted to cheese.
Oh, okay.
So we have plenty of cheese.
Okay.
But, again, a little block here and there for enjoyment and all the different types of cheese. Mm-hmm. And we encourage people to have cheese and apples.
Yes.
After a meal. And did you know that chewing cheese after a meal is one of the best ways to clean your teeth and to stop the bad bacteria from growing in your mouth?
Okay. Any specific cheese?
The triple cheddar.
Okay.
If you chew a little block of cheese, or you take it to, you know, with your school lunch and you've had your lunch, mm-hmm. instead of sucking a sweet, if you chew a little block of cheese, it forms the right kind of bacteria and the right pH inside your mouth.
Yeah.
So, really
So if the dentist says, okay, you buy this mouthwash and gargle it, use it to gargle your mouth, morning and night. So you say cheese is going to serve the same purpose?
Well, it's much nicer.
I definitely.
And what the dentist is going to try and give you is often something that contains the F word, you know, fluoride.
Yeah.
And that we have proved is not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the reason why when I think of people rinsing their mouth with it, is we know that the membranes inside the mouth are where you absorb substances directly into your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a very solid rinse with fluoride, you put fluoride into your bloodstream. They call it the buccal mucosa. That's the layer of cells around the cheeks and under the tongue. They absorb the fluoride and it goes straight through into the capillaries and into your bloodstream. So that's not smart.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a good mouthwash, you can make your own. You can chew a piece of mint, for instance.
Yes.
And my father, he's long since passed on, but when he was a child, they used to chew eucalyptus leaves.
Okay.
To freshen the breath. But the reason they chewed the eucalyptus leaves is they used to run into the field and start smoking.
Yeah. Sue, I will have to say goodbye. Very interesting and very informative. And I'm sure that some tips from you will definitely help people that really need it.
Yeah, it's a worthy challenge. And you can go to our website, www.naturefresh.co.za, and everything I've been talking about will come up. If you just go to the search box and you type in the word liver.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember that? Liver?
Yes, I'm
easy
sure.
One.
But will
type
this
the word liver into the search box, push the button, and you'll get about 10 articles explaining all that we've discussed this afternoon.
So will this video also be on your website?
My son will be recording the show, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah.
And everything will go all right.
Yeah.
If not, maybe somebody else has recorded it on your station or by some luck.
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, just remember the word liver, put it into the Nature Fresh search engine, and away you go. You'll have all the information. And if you want to know more about your blood type, there's plenty of free PDFs in full color. You can download and you can print out the charts, put them up in your kitchen, and check what you're eating. There may be other surprise foods that don't suit you either.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always gluten. It could be something else.
Okay. Sue, thank you very, very much. Much appreciated. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Good.
Keep well.
Absolute pleasure. Goodbye. Shukran.
Bye. Shukran.